You can sit there. How is it? Yeah, he'll set it. It's very loose. We've already started.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, see, like, the numbers are gone. That means this is it. This is what people are listening to. Ugh. Worst studio ever. Righty tighty, right? Yeah. Yeah, chug it.
Yeah. I can swear, right?
Yeah, yeah. What do you want to say? What do you want to swear?
Oh, I just said fuck.
Oh.
Oh, we didn't even notice. That's how much you're allowed to swear.
Yeah, I mean, it's just natural here. You don't have to chug it.
I don't know what the occasion calls for.
You're looking at it. Is there something weird in it?
No, I just, Spooky and I went up to Canada because his granddad owns a house that's right on the beach.
Spooky is, now, is,
yeah.
Yeah, he's your partner
Spooky
in
is,
many ways, right?
Yeah, Spooky is,
This is Ashy, by the way.
Yeah, it's already hitting.
All right. Ashy and Spooky are in Hot MT.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow, you really did chug it.
Yeah.
You're a musician.
I got, yeah. Man. Hot MT, it stands for Hour of the Time, Majesty 12. It's not a very good name, but it's we're the only band with that name. And I like it, so.
But what does that all mean?
So, Hour of the Time is a shortwave radio program from the 90s,
mm-hmm.
Hosted by William Cooper, who worked in naval intelligence and claimed to, you know, want to expose everything. And he had this really intense radio program in which he goes through all of the, you know, rites of secret societies, the ideas behind, you know, government control. And it's really huge. It's probably 1,000 episodes or something like that. And he ended up getting shot down by the FBI. So
really?
Oh. Yeah. So it's all true. He had a specific episode about the Majestic 12. And I just remember Spooky coming to me with a laptop and being like, read this thing. And all I could see was the URL. And it said HOTTMT.
Ah, and that's where it came from.
Oh, that's, I like the look of that. And
yeah.
This was before we started doing anything like musical together.
And Spooky, so he's your boyfriend.
He's my husband.
Husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's my.
You got a ring? Okay.
Yeah. we were both homeschooled and we met in high school in a classics program. And then, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I have no relationship advice.
That's not that kind of...
A really lucky person.
I want to know how you get along as songwriters.
Yeah, so my background is in painting. And when we first started writing together, I definitely had sort of a deficit in knowledge compared to him because he comes from a musical family.
Mm-hmm.
He had been in band since high school. I had been playing bass since high school, but had never been writing.
Yeah, like yeah.
And so something I was nervous to do, but I was very frustrated in being out of school, not making anything good with painting. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
And it really worked out in a big way. And so over these past two albums, and now we're working on the third one, has been sort of an uphill climb in my learning how to write a song.
Right. An uphill climb in that it was difficult or that you're getting better or both?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really difficult to like be in a relationship with someone and be in a working relationship with them and they're better than you.
Oh.
Like.
They're better at you at a relationship.
Kind of. Yeah. And they're better than you at writing. But it's like.
Did he start earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was writing like Lord of the Rings songs at age 12.
Oh, wow.
You know, like just...
Like prog rock?
Yeah, like pop songs on the piano about elves and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So...
And then you started, how old were you? Like how many years ago was this?
I started actually writing songs 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I started learning how to play an instrument when I was 15.
Yeah. And so, you never thought about writing before that?
It always really frightened me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm scared too.
Yeah. It was like...
It took me 52 years to actually start a band.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, folks at home, if anyone's listening, my band's first gig was done at your space.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Non Plus Ultra.
Non Plus Ultra, yeah. Which isn't really around. You live there.
Well, that's on the down low. But,
okay.
We don't
have to talk about it.
We don't live there on the books. We just found a new space to do gigs in. Yeah. And we're going to be hopefully opening up sort of at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And get back to it, because that was something that really worked out for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, it was a great space. Yeah. And so how do you guys write together? How do you start? I mean, is it always different? Or?
Yeah, it's changed over the course of these 5 years. We actually just got back from Canada where we just condensed writing the album in 1 week, which is something that we'd never done before.
Wow.
Because the previous album, the one that just came out, Alternate Universe, was done over like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. Like your life happens.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it wasn't like you were working on it constantly that whole time.
Right. And I remember at that point, I maybe was feeling a little bit insecure about my own abilities. So I wanted to really include everybody who was in my life in writing that album.
Mm.
So before Non Plus Ultra, we had a space in Chinatown that was pretty much just studio space. And we had people living there, and we would all make things together. And so a lot of people were invited into that writing process. And I thought that that was a really good way of making something that was diverse and mm-hmm. also whole.
Yeah.
And that was also when we had more members in the band, too. And for me, I always want to make sure everybody feels fulfilled in what they're doing. If I'm telling, like, if I'm orchestrating something.
Yeah.
So, like, trying to have everybody have their say in this album.
Yeah.
But for...
So how many people wrote that album?
right.
There's probably 15 to 20 people on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me about that process. That's fascinating.
It was long.
Yeah.
It was long. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It was just long. We would just, like, whoever was around at the time of the song. And the songs were very fragmented.
Yeah.
Because we ended up only having, you know, we were living in our cars. We were, like, I was working at Starbucks. It was a really bad thing. Like, just trying to scrounge up money and live. And
so it was a bunch of musicians?
Yeah, a bunch of musicians.
So you had your instruments in your hand and jamming with each other and coming up with lyrics and music at the same time?
Yeah, it was more like we would build on each other's parts.
Mm-hmm.
So Spooky, this is something that has stayed the same. Spooky will make a thing. He'll make a drum beat.
Mm-hmm.
He makes drum beats on his phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll, you know, build on that with a synth track. And that's when he'll usually take it around to different people and be like, hey, I think you could do something cool on this.
Yeah.
Do a part.
Yeah.
And then, but for lyrics, the interesting thing is I've pretty much always, like, 95% of the lyrics are mine.
Yeah.
So writing the lyrics and writing the lyric melodies. Spooky has helped out with the melodies, especially in the beginning, but those are always the last thing to come on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's like we start piling these things on and then pulling in people.
So does the music change sometimes when you bring your lyrics in?
No, the music always stays, always stays as it is. Because, like, for me, and I think for both of us, we feel like lyrics and lyrical melody should serve the whole of the music.
Mm-hmm. So when you, but when you think of the words, are you thinking of the words while listening to the music?
Yeah.
So you're, yeah, you're not in a vacuum, just writing lyrics.
Yeah. What I do now when I'm like really taking myself seriously is every day I'll do automatic writing. Mm-hmm. So I just put myself in the position to always be able to come up with words.
Is it mostly stream of consciousness?
Yeah, stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And it took a long time to get to the point where I was like comfortable being honest, like even though I knew nobody was going to read those things.
Yeah.
Like,
so it could get personal even though it's stream of consciousness.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, say like fuck shit.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it took a long time for me to get to that point where I was okay.
Yeah.
Saying stuff like that.
Can I use that?
Yeah.
Fuck shit.
Yeah.
Fuck shit.
fucking shit. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
What's like one of the most personal songs you have?
Ooh. Fuck. They're all like in Alternate Universe, the last album. I think they're all really personal. I don't often write about my relationships, mm-hmm. and I don't often write about romance.
What do you write about?
Usually I write about emotional states and mm-hmm. like the processing of emotions and then the, you know, personal growth. It's, yeah. But there was one song on the album that I wrote specifically about spooky.
Yeah.
And so that was, that's probably the most personal, like, oh, this feels kind of hard. And that was 24 Hour, which was about kind of, it's the last song in the album, and it's about that time where we were, you know, living in our cars, and he really did feel like the only thing that I had.
Yeah.
And it was like, spooky, I've got spooky, and I've got places that are open 24/7.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna write a song about that.
Oh, wow.
And that was, because we were just...
Is it called 24/7?
It's called 24 Hour.
24 Hour, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a reference to just, like, places that are open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, we'd be just roving around in the car at 3 a.m., and the most comforting thing was, like, oh, that diner's open 24/7. Let's just go in and have a coffee and sit for 3 hours.
It's hard to find those in L.A., too.
It is. I mean, there was also a lot of 7-Elevens. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we were...
But you had to go to, like, Fred 62, right? What?
Yeah, we never actually went there, but we
really?
Went to... Yeah, not...
It's one of the best 24 hours.
Yeah, we were more on the east side when all this was going down. I mean, that's technically Fred, still
like
the east side.
More east
we were
side
more
than
east.
That?
Wow. We were, like, Chinatown area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I have discovered Fred 62 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a good late-night fried chicken sandwich.
I know. They got that munchy menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a fried chicken sandwich church with the instead of buns, it's waffles.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. That reminds me of the last warehouse we had. They had the cannabis cup
mm-hmm.
outside. It was bad. Like, we couldn't drive our cars up to our place. But the one good thing was is they had a food truck with just stoner food.
Wow.
And it was like there was a Monte Cristo.
Oh, man. That's good. Like a deep fried.
Yeah, with like donuts and.
Wow.
Just bad, like the good, bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're young. You could have that. I got to watch it.
For now. Yeah.
Do you get stoned when you write?
I used to.
I felt like a real old man asking that question. Stoned.
Do you smoke the marijuana?
I feel like I it helps to get a little drunk for me.
I only do one thing when I'm stoned. I only do two things when I'm stoned, is eat and sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I just mm-hmm. go, like, I'm out. No matter what it is,
yeah.
I'm out. I'm done. I'm done for the night. If I smoke weed, I'm just
no
done.
No matter what kind of weed, because they have the wake-up weed.
Indica, sativa, it's over for me, which is something that I realized when we were on this trip to Canada, which was like, okay, I can't do this and be productive. Other people can, and I live with other people who can, and it's amazing to see, like, because it totally shatters the stereotype.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course, these people can, like, build sets and, you know, make music and make amazing things, but
Well, a lot of people are so wound up they need it to just be normal.
Drinking is more of my thing. Like, if I go into vocal takes, like, we'll want some whiskey or stuff.
But what about writing?
That's very common.
You're mostly pretty just straight.
Yeah. I mean, also what I found out with alcohol with me is just it lets me get into that same space that we did, which was, oh, I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to not do anything. Yeah. For some reason in my brain, it just turns on the give up switch.
Well, that's what Adderall kind of does to me. You know, it's supposed to make me focus, but I'm just focusing on anything, and it's like, I don't need to write.
Yeah. You know. It's like, I can do my taxes.
Or I could just look at some. I mean, I get like trippy high sometimes on Adderall. I do Adderall like on planes instead of like
really
yeah.
Oh man,
that's interesting.
That sounds like hell.
No, it's great for me because I don't know. I never like sleeping on a plane, and I like kind of when you're on Adderall, time just flies because you're interested in everything.
Yeah, yeah. I love flying.
I would feel just like cooped up and like I didn't have anything that I could accomplish.
Yeah, I think
because I feel like that's the feeling of wanting to get shit done is what I associate.
Yeah,
I
don't want to get things done. I'm just on Adderall. I just look around and I'm fascinated by everything.
But this is interesting to me because now that I'm thinking about this and I'm stretching my mind to remember all of the different times I've written with people or on my own, I don't think that any substance has ever played a role in that for me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Like, but I can relate. I was going to ask you a question because I used to have a band with my ex and actually writing together. We wrote everything together and it was probably the one part of our relationship that didn't have any conflict. It was actually something that we just shared and we absolutely wrote about our relationship, but it wasn't like overt, like people who were, you know, in the audience didn't necessarily know if we were talking about each other. It wasn't so specific. But I wonder, because you said like, oh, you don't really write about your relationship except this one particular song. Do you think that writing with him affects what you will let yourself write? Do you ever hold things back? Or maybe, I don't know how much you write lyrics together, but do you think about that? Like, do you ever come up with something and go, well, maybe I shouldn't say that?
That's so funny. I've been thinking a lot about that, actually. So I think it's a little bit opposite of what you just said about how you were in this relationship and then the conflict didn't exist
in the songwriting.
For us, we're both like non-confrontational people and we both hate conflict, but the conflict will come out when we're writing together.
Interesting.
And there's always a compromise on both sides. Like, he's not able to do everything he wants to do. I'm not able to do everything I want to do. And it definitely is there. But what I think we both believe is that through that process of conflict, we end up with something greater than anything that we could have done on ourselves.
Yeah. Is the idea that you don't like conflict, is that the reason you don't write that much about your relationship?
I think we both really value privacy too.
Yeah.
And we've both been together for a really long time. So it's kind of like maybe a little bit boring. Because music and writing is very exploratory for both of us. So,
and you met in high school.
Yeah.
Like, did you date a lot before that?
We dated.
I mean, did you date other people?
I've never dated anybody else. He's never dated anybody else.
See, there's another reason you don't have a relationship. You've only had one.
Yeah, we're both from. I mean, we've since created our own lives, but from our upbringing, I come from a very strict Baptist background.
Do you want more? Do you want more?
Sure.
Yeah, she might just give up bullet. If we give her another one.
just bullet neat.
Yeah.
Thanks. He's our engineer and bartender, Matt.
Goody's gone.
Now we can talk about him.
Now we can talk shit about him.
Fuck that guy, man.
So wait, what were you saying?
I was saying we both come from very conservative backgrounds.
Oh, right, yeah.
So in high school, it's like you find someone.
Yeah.
and you fall in love, and the emotions are very extreme, of course, especially if you're in this kind of like guarded, subculture.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And did both your sets of parents get along?
Yeah.
It's an interesting way of wording things. I'm not really.
Yeah, actually, when we were up in Canada, my mother-in-law had her 60th birthday,
mm-hmm.
and my parents actually came up too, and they had fun together.
Wow. So did they have a foursome? Sorry.
Wow. Well, there is a really funny thing that happens when you're around, like, older middle-aged married people, because they are always making horny jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what we do.
Well, and it's just like, it evolves. Like, you, at some point in your life, your dad is making dad jokes.
Yeah.
And then the whole, when you're an adult, your dad is like now making horny jokes. And it's like,
yeah.
I mean, not my dad.
Yeah, my daughter goes through that. And I'm a comedy writer. And she's rolling her eyes at me. Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thank you.
Sorry about that.
I didn't mean what I said.
You'll hear it later.
He didn't hear. Yeah. I think also our generation probably did horny jokes when we were kids too. Your generation doesn't really do it that much.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
I don't know.
Am I generalizing?
I certainly am generalizing. I don't know anything about jokes, so I have no sense of humor.
I don't know. I don't know. It was fun.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 28.
Okay.
Yes, I'll be 29 in
so
December.
We're close in age.
Yeah.
Do you get jokes? Do you like?
I love
funny?
Jokes. I think everything should be funny.
Yes,
everything is a joke. Yeah. All the time. No, all the time.
Wow.
Like that's.
I hit a good chord here.
She just got really excited.
Yeah. I think that's what's made it something that's made it hard for us performing too. It's like it's funny. You know, there are things.
Everything's
that are,
a bit with you.
Yeah, so many things are a bit with me, especially live performance. And I think it's hard to come across in the music scene in LA.
Yeah.
As funny, because it's very stoic. Like,
well, everyone's trying to be cool.
Right.
Right.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, I have a hard time getting up in front of people. Well, because I do. I don't, it's new to me, getting up and singing and... So I don't think my stage persona is very exciting.
I had a really interesting stage persona arc.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we made our first album, the first thing that we did was take it to Wayne Coyne. And we hadn't played any shows. We didn't have a band. It was just me, Spooky, and Adam. And we drove there and we took it. And all of a sudden, things blew up. And so, of course, when we get home, we're like, okay, we have to play. So I just had pure energy going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Wayne had told me was just like, what do you play on stage, do you jump around? And I was like, I don't know, I haven't done it yet, but yeah. And he was like, good, you just jump around. And then
see, that's why I feel too.
Good advice.
I feel like it's just such a put on thing. But maybe you sell it in some way.
Well, then a more trusted friend and an older sort of mentor that me and Spooky had said, like, you know what? You're not used to singing live. You're not going to be very good at it right now. So just be as charismatic as you can be.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, do that. Now I'm at a place where it's like...
You can jump around.
Now I'm at a place where
now
I
just
don't
jump
want
around.
To jump around. Like,
do you jump around?
Not anymore.
You don't even jump around. That was the middle period
that
for you?
That was the beginning.
Oh, you started jumping around.
I started by just being like, and it worked. Yeah. Like, it got us through that first sort of thing. And then I was faced with the challenge of, okay, well, people are expecting to actually hear you sing. People are people want to hear... this full thing. So I had to just buckle down. And realize,
put the nose
like,
to the old grindstone.
Yeah, and then also understand, like, restraint versus expression, and, like, just being on stage. A really good friend kind of called me out on it. Like, hey, you don't have to jump around all the time. You can just, you have enough allure to just like, you know, stand there, sing well, engage the audience, like do a thing, but do it purposefully. Don't just be 100% energy.
Yeah, that's good advice, I think.
Yeah, it was hard to hear.
I feel like, I feel like all audiences can kind of see it when you're forcing something too, like whatever that thing is, when you're trying too hard. Or when you're not giving anything.
Yeah,
because some people just will just sort of stand there and give nothing and there's no performance happening.
Yeah, I feel like I need to like do banter in between songs because my songs are boring.
But I actually find that really entertaining and it's really authentic to you to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it's... Right. And then
my band is like, the Nio's like, you talk too much in between. Yeah, I know.
It's... Yeah. I used to talk a lot in between too, and I always enjoyed that. But I recognized that I was really learning to be a front person by observing Wayne too. And that's kind of like, he's going to talk about how good things are and how happy you should be and like everything's great and you're a great person and go out and do that thing. So it's like in between songs, you're a motivational speaker kind of deal.
Well, kind of getting back to songwriting and keeping this conversation kind of going about performance, do you ever write a song thinking about what the performance would be like? Do you ever, does that enter into the writing, you know, in some way?
The only time that did was with the single Cat Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the one between the first and second albums where I was very, very much like, I want to record something that can be translated exactly as it's recorded into live, and it's just going to be, you know, drums, bass, guitar, singing.
Yeah.
Oh, did that come out of having so many hands on a record and not knowing how to actually replicate that live without a track?
Well, the first record was pretty much all like digital noise.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's drum machines and synths, and I wasn't playing live at the time.
Yeah.
So we were trying to achieve the sound of that album with bandmates, and like everybody was trying to replicate that in a way, and it never was. So my answer to that was like, okay, let's make a song that is going to translate perfectly.
Yeah.
And then I never did that again.
Why?
Because I really don't like that song.
Oh, no.
Can you do a little bit of it for us?
Yeah, it's just, okay, let me fix my shoe.
That's part of the song.
So it's like.
Do you guys have the same shoes on?
They look really almost similar.
Yours are a bit nicer.
They're shiny.
Yours have more like.
I like yours though because they're like the
I don't know why I brought it up. See, now like a simplistic. Now we're trying to talk about shoes. 20 minutes.
Never mind.
No, go ahead.
For those of you listening at home, we're both wearing.
You know, the most important thing in music is actually shoes.
Oh yeah. Well, she had to fix it.
It's all about clothes.
Both wearing black shiny shoes.
but I'll sing a part of that. It was. Good night, I am closing my door. I am hiding the thing that you think is yours. And it kind of repeats that and it goes in. But it's very guitar heavy. It's like lots of...
I like it. I like it a cappella.
Oh,
that was adorable.
You. Thank you. But that's really when things kind of fell apart for us. So it's like... I think I just
compromised the song in the end.
Yeah, the song just will sit in a place in my brain of like, oh, that's when.
Do you ever want to re-record that song in the way you want it?
No, I just want to do another song.
Fuck that song.
Yeah, fuck that song,
move
man.
Move on.
I hope it made someone happy somewhere. I'm sure
it just
it did,
made me but... happy.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that and the only other song that we do that I really don't like are. There's two songs.
Okay, give them to me.
I can't do the Wayne Coyne song anymore. the first song that we did, Never Hate Again. And then 3 Days is just a weird song that ended up being a weird, like, I don't know. We had a bad label experience, and they ended up putting, it wasn't on the album. They ended up putting it on the album. It wasn't really done.
Mm.
And they ended up putting it on the album, not telling us, and then producing CDs.
Wow.
And we were selling these CDs.
You weren't even done with it?
No, not with the song. Like, it was just kind of like a thing we did, because our friend...
That's like a nightmare.
Yeah, our friend had a studio.
I once made a television show, and the network released the first episode without it being... edited and fixed.
What?
For April Fool's Day.
Wait, what show?
For April Fool's Day. What? It was called Moral Oral. It was on...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, they released it. We didn't like that you could see, you know, things that we wanted to take out, and they did it, and they're like, well, no, it's a, you know, it's April Fool's Day. I'm like, but it's a joke on me only.
That sucks.
That's why I never do anything
for April Fool's Day?
Anytime.
Yeah.
For the whole year.
The way that joke should have gone was, haha, we released it April Fool's. Yeah, like, it should have not happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's stop animation.
Yeah.
And that's like...
Yeah, there were rods still visible, you know, like if a character jumps, you had like a little metal rod.
Yeah.
You see it, right?
Oh, that was God. Still on. That's not funny and it was, at all.
No.
They're like, the dolls are there. I know what's going on.
Hardy har har.
I'm sorry that happened.
That's
to
okay.
You.
Yeah,
it,
I
you know,
too.
I got him back because I made a show without any jokes. So
what show?
Moral. Season 3. I took all the jokes out. Mike Lazo called me up and he said, "There's like one joke in this last episode," and I'm like, "Well, okay, show me where it is. I'll take it out."
I mean, I know this is a podcast about singer songwriters.
We're getting
but. I wouldn't be the person I am today. I wouldn't be here today if that, like, era of Adult Swim didn't exist. Because that was me. That was me staying up at night, watching TV, hoping my parents were asleep, and, like, getting exposed to all the stuff that I thought was great.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun time. Even though everyone hated my show at the time. Because it was a bunch of kids like you who... Just jerks.
I'm the worst, man. I'm a fucking asshole.
I mean, admit it. You didn't
problem.
Like the show when you were watching it. You were
I
like,
liked
this
everything
is stupid.
That I was watching.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was
you were just
completely
high.
Different than anything else. I was high on the shows, man.
Oh, yeah.
I was high on the shows, man.
All right. We're veering too far off. You're right. Songwriting. How do you do it?
Songwriting. I do it.
Great question, Dino.
First, I get a guitar and I play some bar chords.
Oh, God damn it. I don't know how to bar.
No, I don't do that. I just know that you don't know how to bar.
Oh, you knew it.
Yeah.
Dino's like, did someone say bar?
Yeah, I mean, I know of one bar. And it's,
the only thing Spooky told me to tell you is that he knows how to play bar chords,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't usually do it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I love Spooky.
He says, fuck bark words.
I wish Spooky was here, too.
Me, too. All
could,
the time.
We could talk about, you know. I mean, you're doing a good job.
But
you,
I mean,
if you were going to speak for Spooky.
I talk more than he does.
If you're going to, well, then you speak for him. Speak for him. Okay. How does he write?
Spooky.
Oh, you kind of told me, you know. He writes a drum beat.
I'll channel Spooky right now.
Yeah, channel.
This is Spooky.
This is Spooky.
Hello, this is Spooky. I like everybody, and I'm chill, and I usually want to write music all the time. So I write music all the time, and that means I write
Spooky.
Music.
Holy shit.
I write music on my phone.
Spooky, put down that knife. Jesus.
He
writes on his phone. Yeah,
he just writes fucking all the time. It's part.
God damn him.
It's so part of who he is. That it's like,
I don't believe he exists.
I'm always envious of.
You wouldn't believe he exists.
She has two personalities, and one of them is called Spooky.
Like, if I met Spooky, I'd be like, you're not even here right now.
And he'd be like, and then he'd walk away.
Whoa.
Yeah.
God damn it. I'm so
mad.
Is
that why he's called Spooky?
Yeah.
Why is he?
He's, well.
Oh.
Okay. So there's a thing. So Spooky both loves Star Wars and he loves X-Files. And I think that the reason that he ultimately ended up marrying me is that I look...
like a UFO.
Like... Scully?
Dana Scully mixed with Princess Leia.
You do?
Oh.
Wow.
I thought he was...
Oh, curious. Shit. I feel like I know way too much about your relationship now. That just crossed the threshold into going,
have you
oh,
worn
no.
the slave outfit?
That's supposed to be like a birthday present.
You haven't gotten it yet?
His birthday is on the 19th, so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You know what you should do?
What?
You should have like a perfect like red kind of long bobbed wig with like the trench coat over it. And then, so show up like
so
that, and,
Scully,
then take it off,
oh my
and
God.
The wig, and have Leia in the bikini.
We gotta cut this part out of it, because you gotta do it.
I gotta do it. Oh, man. Yeah, no.
But he's gonna come in my pants when he sees that.
He just came up to me one day, and Spooky, he was watching the X-Files, and they called Mulder Spooky. And he's like, okay, that's Spooky. And then he was listening to Smokey Robinson. He was like, I want a name like Smokey Robinson.
Spooky Robinson, yeah.
So he gave himself the name of Spooky Tavi. He was like, that's the coolest fucking shit in
Spooky
the world.
Spooky Tavi?
Yeah, it's his full...
Like Ricky Tikki Tavi's last name? you know who Ricky Tikki Tavi is?
Of course I do. Right. The mongoose.
Yeah, the mongoose.
Who killed the viper.
Yeah.
Or maybe got killed by the viper.
But his last name is Tavi?
Yeah.
Okay. What nationality is
it? No, I mean, it's not his real last name.
Oh, what's his real last name?
Logie.
You know what Logie means, right?
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's Scottish.
Spooky Logie.
Nick Logie.
Nick Logie.
Nick Logie.
Nick Logie, that's a good rock name.
Nicholas Logie.
Yeah.
Nicholas Daniel Logie.
Yeah. Spooky Tavi. And what's your fake last name?
Well, okay.
I'm so veering away from songwriting.
I almost did that too.
You can do it.
Okay.
Do it.
My.
Let's write a burp song.
So Ashy.
Steve Agee has a burp song.
He does. All right, forget it.
I'll be right back. I have to pee.
Okay.
Now that we're on body functions.
Pee right there, man.
Can you believe this is a goddamn podcast? Well,
I love podcasts because it's just having a conversation with a person.
Yeah.
And people are into it.
Yeah.
And hell yeah.
In theory.
And we have a microphone in the bathroom so we can cut to her peeing.
Peeing yourself is the greatest freedom.
Peeing.
Anyway.
Oh, peeing yourself. What do you mean? In your clothes?
Sure.
Yeah.
So
I always wanted to, like, you know, I mean, I'm getting to that age, so I might have to anyway, but I like the idea of like just having a diaper and just like,
sure,
yeah, just peeing.
I mean, we should respect old people a lot more. I want to live till I'm like 100 and however long I can live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Well, yeah, I don't want to die.
Whoa!
she threw her head back laughing and her headphones flew off.
Knocked my headphones off. Oh, man. But the nickname Spooky gave it to me. It was like, you're Ashy Dala because I like Queen Amidala from Star Wars, and you're going to be Ashy. But the nickname Ashy, my name is Ashley Noel, and Ashley with no L is Ashy.
Oh. Wow.
And that was given to me by my Uncle Wonky when I was...
Jesus, where did you grow up? In some candy land?
I grew up in Trailer Park, Connecticut, man.
Did you really?
Well, kind of. I mean, my whole family is kind of white trash East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents are like the cream of the crop of both their families.
Mm.
They're like...
And they've always gotten along and they love each other and everything?
Oh, they love each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they have a good relationship?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to Hawaii.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's a good relationship.
And Nick's parents have a good relationship. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They have a great relationship with each other, too.
And are any of the parents songwriters? I'm getting back into the
songwriter. My mom claims to have written poetry back in the day. My dad tried to learn the acoustic guitar but couldn't. Both my parents are accountants, and I love them for that. Nick's family is...
Because they do your books?
Absolutely. They've taught me how to do... That's why I
do
the books for Nonplusultra.
Yeah, that's what we were saying before.
Because I'm terrified of money, and I won't spend it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about Spooky? Does he spend money?
Yeah.
You gonna write a song about that?
No.
Come on.
On my solo album.
Spooky, you're spooking me with your spending. Spooky spending.
Dude, he's gonna hear this and he's gonna feel so bad.
Why?
Really?
Because he's sensitive.
Oh, really?
Sensitive.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the fucking nicest guy you'll ever meet.
Well, I like him. I mean, I wish he was here.
I know.
Instead of you.
I know, right? You got the worst one. You got the...
I'm joking.
You got the mean one. Like, I have...
You're mean?
I have to curb my...
Oh, my God. He must be a total pussy.
I have to curb my meanness all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't... It doesn't look like you're trying to curb it now.
I like you.
Oh, well...
If I didn't like you...
What do you like about me? I mean, seriously.
I like
I've just been a jerk.
I mean, you poured me whiskey.
Oh, that's true.
You let me on your podcast.
That's true. I like...
You've
I
got
like
air
too.
Conditioning.
Yeah. I can't take full credit for that, yeah. But yeah.
I'll take credit for
I
the
don't
air
even remember what I was getting so worked up about.
That you're the mean one.
Yeah, no, I am the mean one. I enjoy being mean.
Yeah. Do you write mean songs?
See,
taking it back. Taking it back.
Let's see, let's see, let's see, let's see, let's see. Fuck, a mean song.
What's your meanest
song? I might now, you know, the meanest song. There's one, there's something in rattling around in my brain and I'm trying to grasp it.
What makes you mad?
Fuck.
And then write a song about it. I wrote a song called Brown Booze.
Brown Booze?
I get mean on Brown Booze.
Okay. I get mean when I feel like I don't get to have as much free time as I want. I get mean when I feel like people are...
Oh, yeah.
Cutting into my anime time and my, like, stare at the wall time. Yeah. So I like to do nothing. So when people tell me to do something, I usually get mad at them.
Yeah, you're like my kid. I was like that too.
Yeah.
I don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah.
Who does?
Yeah, I don't think many people like to be told what to do.
No.
I think ironically
I like to fantasize about being told what to do, you know.
You know. I think ironically that song Cat Castle that we were talking about is probably my angriest song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it about?
So it
didn't sound angry.
You got something against cats.
Oh, it was something about like, yeah, I'm putting it in my door and you're not allowed in.
The song's called like...
Yeah, it was angry.
It
was cute, but it was angry.
I mean, good night. I'm closing my door. I'm hiding the thing that you think is yours. It's about like...
I like the song.
Shit. It's about someone coming into your room at night and like...
Jesus, that's spooky.
Yeah.
And that's spooky.
Yeah.
Spooky. Spooky probably always comes into your room at night.
So it's that. It's just... I don't have a way to be like eloquent
about
it.
That's
okay. So, but yeah, it's about...
That's why we write songs, because we can't say it any other way.
Exactly. So yeah. It was one of those songs, which is just like, don't... You know, fuck you. I have my own power. You're going to stay the fuck away from me, and I'm going to sing a song about it.
Do you usually start with that idea, or does it just come out of, like, the lyrics that you're writing and, like, oh, well, this is what it's turning into?
You know, for that song, it was kind of what it's turning into.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And it was usually, probably your present mood.
Yeah, and usually that's how the songs unfold. I don't ever... really come to spooky with like, hey, I have these lyrics or this thing I want to write about.
Yeah. Does Spooky ever write lyrics? Ever?
Yeah, Spooky actually has his own solo project and like he's been having bands for fuck knows I know, like years and years. And he does write lyrics. Sometimes he'll come to me with like a lyric idea and a melody, sort of propose those things, but we'll generally kind of work it out.
Does he acknowledge that you're more of the wordsmith?
Yeah. I mean, I never feel like there's a, even though we're talking about like conflict and whatever the other word is for when two people disagree.
You could sort of say that.
Yeah. we both kind of respect each other's expressions. And he knows that, like, if I'm going to be singing it, I'm going to be singing things I want to be singing.
Yeah.
Right.
and same for him. Like, I give him the freedom. I don't give him the freedom. He has the freedom to, you know, explore the things that he wants to do that he doesn't feel fulfilled in this project with the solo project. And yeah.
Do you ever, do you have writer's block ever?
Sure, probably. Yeah.
You don't even know.
No,
I don't have it.
I feel like it's kind of...
probably.
No, it's not that. It's the opposite of that. I feel like I have it all the time.
All the time?
Yeah, and it's always like weightlifting to get to like, okay, this is the words. Mm. And it's definitely like an arena I step into and I think I'm going to write these words, okay.
But it becomes fun? And
yeah, it ends up...
Has it ever become euphoric?
I'm sure. Like, it ends up being euphoric in performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never in the writing.
Well, it's funny because, so we wrote all these songs in Canada, and then coming back, I had a lot of space between hearing them, and I hadn't heard them since, like, just performing them in the recording.
Yeah.
And then I was listening to them maybe, like, a week later for the first time, and that's when it was euphoric, and I was like, oh, fuck, no, I did cool things. We both did really cool things. This is great. Let's keep going with it and move forward.
Do you ever rewrite when you're recording? Do you ever get on the mic and then go, you know what? Actually, now that I'm recording this, I feel like that part doesn't really work. We need to change this.
Absolutely. So we record very, I'd say we record very loosely, where especially with vocals and lyrics, there's a lot of reworking that's done. And a lot of times the lyrics won't be written until I get to the microphone, where then it's just like kind of just, you know, riffing on what the music is. And then you take that recording and then you go back, you listen to it and you put some thought into it and you say, okay, let's change this word, let's change this word, let's make this phrase different. And here's the theme of the song, here's what the song is.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever gone into recording after you've performed the song several times, like in front of people?
Oh, no. Actually, no. Never. Hmm. We usually don't start learning songs live until the recording is
interesting.
Yeah.
See, I have. I with my old band, before we went and recorded the EP, we were playing shows all over town. Yeah. And this one particular song, when we finally went to record it, we realized that the vocal melody just had to change. I basically had to, all the words stayed the same, but like the melody itself needed to change. And it completely changed the song.
Yeah.
Which is a great way to write, I think, because then you have the feedback of the audience. You have the feedback.
Why don't you do that?
Because I think it goes back to the Cat Castle thing. It's just like, well, I think I write better. We both write better in isolated environments.
Yeah.
And we'll, you know, we have the self-motivation to go back over and, like, refine things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's totally, like, I'm infatuated with that writing process.
And you
that
must
you described.
Have, you must have a way to record at home, right?
Yeah,
so
we
that you
do.
Can have that demoing process and he can add things to tracks and everything, so then that's part of the writing process. We didn't have that.
Okay.
So we wrote everything in a recording, like in a rehearsal space, and started gigging.
Yeah.
And we had to pay for recording time later.
Yeah, that's what we do.
So we never like, and I think that it was like that for a really long time, but these days a lot of people can record at home.
Yeah, I feel like an asshole now.
Why?
Because I can record at home.
No, that's okay.
No, I'm not saying you're cheating.
I totally get it.
You want to feel like
I'm saying it has changed
like
writing for people.
It's kind of like how I feel when I say I have a jukebox that plays 45s. It makes people jealous.
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
That's
Are
pretty
you jealous?
Cool. Yeah, a little bit.
See, I feel like I am
Spooky
an asshole
would
now.
Be more jealous, though.
Yeah.
But he's not here, and I'm mean. So fuck you, man.
Yeah, that's what I like. You get the brown booze thing too.
Hell yeah. But I love that way of recording. It's almost more akin to like folk music, where you're bringing it to an audience, and then you're letting the audience decide certain things, and not that you're basing your specific decisions on that experience, but I mean, even subconsciously, there's something that happens when you perform in front of other people, mm-hmm. where you start thinking about things differently.
I think I've changed my writing, too, after performing in front of people.
Sure.
You know, I'm writing more. I'm, like, leaving a little more air. You know, I feel like my songs have too many words, and it's just like I'm just, like, fucking vomiting out words. So now I'm trying to write songs that kind of have a little more air, and maybe my lead guitarist could play a little solo.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a quick one.
I feel like my songs have too few words. I usually repeat. So I'm trying to come up with more words.
Yeah, I'm more the other way crazy. Like, like my choruses have different words in them. Sometimes.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
I'm just right.
Like a little baby bear over here.
Goldilocks you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Spooky and I both also draw a lot of influence from literature, which I think is interesting because that's, like, how we met each other, was
yeah.
through Classics, like, platonic program. And, yeah, I've been reading the Earthsea Quartet by Ursula Le Guin, and that was really influential on this current batch of songs that we're working on.
How? Well, I'm not familiar with that. What is it?
She is a fantasy writer, and this is kind of like quintessential fantasy, like wizard mm-hmm. type mm-hmm. stuff. And the magic that she uses in it is like naming magic, but it's also like there's so many practical things involved in the writing. But, I mean, as it relates to songwriting, having that sort of in my brain as I'm consuming it, reading it, and Spooky is consuming it, reading it, and we're also, you know, come from background of just like fantasy literature and sci-fi literature, we're thinking about like lyrical content. I'm thinking about lyrical content that relates mm-hmm. to that, and he's thinking about musical content yeah. that relates to it.
So oh, interesting.
We've come out with something that's very like somehow like a fantasy genre of music.
Have you ever written anything for like television or movies or?
We actually have one song that's off of Alternate Universe that is going to be used in an independent film.
Oh, cool.
But
you didn't write it for
we
that.
We didn't write it for it.
Yeah.
But that's always been, I think, a dream of Spooky's.
Yeah.
That sounds, yeah.
Right, I was going to say, I don't even know Spooky, but I knew that about him.
I would mm-hmm. want to be in a movie. Like, I would yeah. rather like be in a movie and write a song for a movie.
Yeah.
But maybe Spooky could write a song for a movie and I could be in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe you guys should just be in the new season of Twin Peaks when it happens.
Fuck,
there might be
man.
Another season.
I don't know.
And there's always bands that appear throughout.
Oh, yeah?
That'd
my
be
friends
cool.
The Vales that I sang on their record were on the last episode.
Oh, really?
They're the band at the end.
Similarly.
So they're in it and their music is in it.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. I would be very into that because it's fucking weird.
you like weird.
I do, but I have a hard time watching Twin Peaks. Generally, when I consume media now, it's like very calm, slice of life.
Oh, don't watch Twin Peaks.
Anime. Well, I did. I have been. And I'm like, everybody I know is
anime
incredibly...
is in slice of life.
Yes, it is.
It is? I yeah. don't know anything about
no,
it.
No, I mean... That I think the general
life, maybe.
The general conception is sort of like the sci-fi fighting action stuff, and
yeah.
it's like, but then there's this whole other section of it that's just like people on a farm doing cute things.
Oh, really?
Not and like people in school doing boring regular things.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I love animation like that.
Yeah, nothing happens.
Yeah,
nothing.
That was like my shows.
Yeah, it fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I want to watch a show or not. Okay, Seinfeld, but you know.
Yeah.
Now, Seinfeld is a lie. Things happened on
yeah,
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I didn't buy that. It's a show about nothing. It's a show about everything.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot that happens, and it's very neatly wrapped up in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
What was I talking about, though?
Songwriting.
You were talking you were talking about not wanting to watch Twin Peaks.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean I want to watch Twin Peaks. I really do. But I find that everybody in my life right now is incredibly stressed out. Like everybody is so stressed out.
Right.
Yeah.
And
everyone wants just like a nice like escape kind of show.
Yeah. And all my friends
can't
are
escape
like,
from
I'm watching Twin Peaks right now, but I can only watch one episode because otherwise I freak out. And I'm like,
maybe I should watch it. I like my life is really good.
Yeah. I watched the first episode and I liked it a lot, but I also wasn't able to get through the first season. Very first season.
I like the first season. I didn't like the second season.
Okay.
Did you ever write a song about Twin Peaks?
There is a song that we have that...
Oh, thank God.
there's a song we have called Blue Dream that is very similar to the original theme song of Twin Peaks.
Really? Was it inspired by that?
It just has that same bass line.
See,
I don't think it was. I think
it... That's why... No, I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that it had to have been a subconscious thing because it's just like a bass line that we weren't trying.
And kind of dreamy. Like, a lot of your stuff is dreamy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was born sleeping is why.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The events of my birth.
Were you a cesarean?
I was a cesarean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they think you were dead or what?
Well, kind of. My mom had a near death experience when she was 7 or 8 months pregnant
and you
with
fainted.
Me. She had kidney stones, and the doctor didn't believe that she was in pain.
Oh God!
And so he
worst
didn't.
Worst doctor
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, he didn't.
All my doctors to believe in pain. What's going on?
He was just like, you're just a crazy pregnant woman. You have hormones. Go away.
Oh.
You're due in a few months. We'll see you then, kind of thing. And so she
worst doctor ever.
She ended up just in excruciating pain on her office floor and blacked out and was seeing like the white light. Just go to the white, Fortunately, someone else who worked in that same area like drove her to the hospital, and she woke up with them like sticking her with needles. And the first thing they said was, "Ma'am, we always save the mother first. We don't know if your baby's alive." Which is just terrifying to
what
say.
Was
to,
the
like,
baby alive?
Well, they didn't.
Was it born?
What happened?
I'm at the edge of my seat.
They thought I was dead. They found my heartbeat 8 hours later, and I was born.
They found your heartbeat? Where was it?
It was really tiny.
Was it in your heart?
It was in my heart.
That's the first place I would have looked. They found your eyes.
And then I was born cesarean, sleeping, and they fucking couldn't get me to react to anything. And they're just like, to pinch me to take photos, you know, to open my eyes. Like,
yeah.
From till I was, you know, two, when walking around and stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've always been sleepy. So that's why I don't drink anymore, except for right now.
Yeah,
because
it just puts
me back into that, like, I'm just going to go to sleep because fuck everything here, you know?
So really, you don't drink anymore?
I really don't drink anymore.
Jesus, did you drive here?
Yeah, but I'll be fine. I mean, like, I'll be fine.
I'm a great drunk driver.
I'm going to hang out. So.
Yeah, hang out a little bit. Take a nap. We got an HR department. You're fine here.
Yeah, I'm going to hang out. I mean, that story didn't have anything to do with anything, so I'm sorry to all our listeners.
You never wrote a song about amazing. Being born asleep?
I mean, all the songs are like that because I feel like...
That's what I want to hear.
You know, it's like... It's dreamy, right?
It did have something about it.
That's why it's dreamy. That's why I'm always like... The emotional charge in the lyrics are usually very sleepy. Yeah. They're that kind of like teetering on consciousness and unconsciousness. And that's the place I like to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep being there. You know, yeah. I wish I could do that right now.
You could do it. Yeah, not bad. Do you want to
pull up? So left out.
Oh. Well, because you're not drinking.
I can't.
I commend you for not drinking. I understand completely.
Thank you.
Well, you don't even drive. Why won't you drink?
Because she doesn't fucking want to drink.
Because it's like 3 in the afternoon.
Shut up. What are you, my wife?
No, I sometimes will have a drink in here. Just not today.
Do you have anything you want to plug? It's stupid because you probably are more famous. You know, your band's more famous than this podcast. But
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
We've had a lot of troubles.
Do you want to talk about something?
No, yeah, but it's like, fuck, man. I just
You're working on your third album.
And
do you have
a,
you have a label, right?
We don't have a label.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the label that we have is Mutation. Well, I'm sorry. Let me start this over.
Let's just start the podcast. We are under...
I've got time, man. We are currently functioning under Mutation, which Spooky runs. And
oh, okay.
Yeah. So
how'd you get on that label?
Okay. I fucked the exec, man.
Yeah. Knew it.
And he's doing a really fucking amazing good thing because
Jesus, why don't you marry this guy?
I know. Yeah. He's got a bunch of bands on that are, I think, really, really good bands, but who don't get the same kind of exposure that they would as if they were different people. What does it say? Like they don't get the exposure they need in LA. And so he's providing them a way to, you know, showcase themselves.
Is it a specific type of music that he puts on the label or?
No, not right now.
Yeah.
It's mainly, I guess, I don't know. It's like art rock, I'd say.
Mm.
And these are people that I think are underrepresented. And so he's giving them spaces to play. He's putting on shows. He's putting out their records. He's doing all this stuff for people. And
cool.
They just had a slot in Echo Park Rising. And he's doing it. He just likes to do things. I like to not do things.
So. Well, yeah. Guess what? You came here. He didn't.
It's true.
Well, because he's doing things.
Yeah. Well, I like to talk.
This
man.
Really isn't anything.
No, this is a lot.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's too much sometimes.
But yeah, so we're on that label right now. But really. That means we're independent.
Yeah, and it means you're not going to get a song put on there that you don't want.
Right.
Fuck labels. That
I just want to, okay, because Spooky isn't here to hold me back from saying
that. Yeah, say it.
Don't ever work with Manimal Records or PR.
Yeah, dumb name. It's based on a fucking show from the 70s.
And it's is that so a show from chauvinistic.
Maybe the 80s. What?
Chauvinistic.
Fuck
Manimal.
Yeah, chauvinistic.
Yeah.
Where's the womanimal?
Yeah. Womanimal.
Womanimal?
Womanimal.
Yeah, they fucked us hard. Anyway.
That's as manimals do, right?
I know they're still functioning.
Unless it's a bunny manimal.
What? That's like the money dance at a wedding?
I guess bunnies fuck hard. They fuck often.
They fuck a lot.
Yeah. I don't know how hard they fuck.
Monies?
Bunnies.
Bunnies.
Oh, bunnies.
You're all about monies. You're like you got dollar signs in your eyes. What's wrong with you?
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, you love money. Yeah.
I tried to get some from the bank earlier and it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, you're on the way to the bank, so you stopped in here and
I
did a podcast.
I got a good deposit something in the bank.
Well, do you want to plug anything?
Well,
are we still going? Okay, let's keep going. Okay.
You said you have Nonplus Ultra, but it's moving to a new venue?
Yes. Fuck Nonplus Ultra, but we're moving to a new venue. We're going to start throwing shows downtown. And then we're also moving our studio space to Atwater Village. And
where I live.
Which is in your... Yeah.
Not my neighborhood.
Yeah. So you will be recording at space.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dude, no.
You're
if
drunk.
You
want don't know what you're saying.
No, I do. If you want to come over anytime.
Good thing we have it on tape.
we do have tape here.
Space. No, I literally, 30 minutes before coming here, was at the bank trying to get a loan out. So we could have the moving costs for this new space. And we're going to do it anyway. I mean, I'm going to get...
Oh, you didn't get the loan?
No, I mean, I got the paperwork to do the loan.
Okay, Jesus, go to sleep first.
Yeah.
don't start. Don't do it now while you're drunk.
Yeah, no. Do it now while I'm drunk. Okay. Anyway, yeah, so we're doing that. If you want to play a show at Nonplus Ultra, you email booking@nonplusultra.us and we will respond to you and we will get you what you need.
Nice.
We've always, 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 always been wanting and needing and trying to create a space for emerging talent in LA so that we can all fucking do music, which is so hard to do when you have to pay your goddamn bills. So come play with us, get motherfucking paid, and have a great time.
Wow.
Email us.
You're so mean but nice at the same time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's my appeal. Anyway, we're starting
tough
back
love.
Up. We're starting back up. We're
great.
Starting back up. We're not done. Come one, come all.
That's
except
good news.
For that one guy who we don't want to come back.
Oh, yeah.
See ya.
You know who you are.
I think it was me.
I mean, so I really got my fill of like white young men playing guitar. So
oh, I'm not
I mean,
young.
But this you're is... not that. So
yeah, I'm not young at all.
I'm actually really happy that you played.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't around.
Yeah. And even... I'm not that white either.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got, you know, I'm a little. You
you're
know,
a little red.
Am I red? I'm Greek.
He's a little olive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Greek.
Hell yeah. Well, come play again.
I will. Yeah. When? When?
We're going to start throwing shows end of September.
Okay. Our record release party is going to be in September 22nd.
Were you having your record release?
We're having it. Well, I have a venue, too.
Wait, what? Where?
It's called Starburns Castle. It's a couple blocks away.
I love Starburns Castle.
Oh, you've been there?
Didn't play Starburns Castle, but we were going to.
You should come play there. We'll come play at yours.
Okay.
We'll be like brother and sister venues.
I mean, your venue is way better because it's a castle.
Yeah, it really is a castle.
Yeah, but okay.
But yes. No, yours is nice. I love it.
Ours
well,
is
I,
just...
Well, now it's a new one.
Well, I mean,
haven't been to it yet.
Our venue was just, we're tired of not we're not tired of
if you we've, want we've if you want care. Like a mean nice person we come you come to you
well that's why I was the bartender most nights
were you
yeah okay. I did bartending there
so I must have met you for a lot
yeah
yeah
I smoked a lot of cigarettes back in the day
well this was only like a year ago
that's true that's a long time for someone who's 28
yeah that's true that's like half your life right I'm not great at math you're better at math than I am.
My parents are better at math than I am. But.
Okay, so we'll call them and see if it was half your life or not. 66 minutes and 49 seconds. You did well.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was like, it's like doing this podcast is like bronco busting. The longer you go, the better you do.
Okay.
Like if I, you know, yeah, you know.
I mean, I could go longer, but I don't want to keep you from doing what you're trying to do today, so.
I'm just drinking.
Okay, me too, but.
I feel like we've exhausted the songwriting thing.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, we could keep talking about just fun things.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
No, I love it.
Okay.
No, I had a good time.
How was Spooky born?
Spooky was born. They pulled him out with salad tongs.
Did they really?
Yeah.
You guys, what is wrong with you kids these
His
days?
Mom always tells me he had a huge head. And I said, like, I have a big head, too. We're meant for each other, so there it goes.
God, you kids and your way of being born now. It used to be we just were born. Yeah, millennials. Just they got
you were either born or you just died, so threw you in the lake.
No, I think we talked a lot about songwriting, but we veered off. But it was fun. It was a fun podcast.
I had a good time. I think it's a good conversation.
Let's talk about the podcast. Let's talk about our favorite moments.
Do you remember at like 30 minutes and 57 seconds, you started talking about
burping.
Fino, you burped, and yeah. I was like, I want to burp too.
I know you really wanted to burp. That was cute. There it is, a little burp.
Sorry. I will not keep you from whatever you're trying
no,
to do.
No. I mean, we're going to keep hanging out, but in the other room.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
Good. See, we're ending on a good note.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks. Bye, Sing
Bye, everybody.
Stars.
Feral Audio.